This is TWAT Radio Episode 10, hosted by Iron Geek.
Today's episode will be Iron Geek, aka me, from BenRev, Infonomicon, AntiOnline, and IronGeek.com. This episode will be all about sniffing twat. This episode of twat would be all about sniffing. Yeah, that's the ticket. The kind of sniffers I'm talking about are packet sniffers, also known as network analyzers. Basically, what a sniffer does is it sees what's traveling on the wire, picks up the packets, and then shows them to you. But first, a little explanation about how networks work in general is probably in order. Most of this information will deal with standard wired Ethernet, but a lot of the same principles can be applied to wireless and token ring technologies as well. When Ethernet first started being used, it used what's sometimes called a common bus topology. Basically, everything's on one common bus, either hooked up via a long coaxial cable or a twisted pair network in a hub. Any traffic sent down one line of the network could be seen by any node on the network. However, by default, a machine will only listen for packets that are sent to its specific MAC address, the network address that's either set via software or burnt into its network card. Ethernet networks, designed around the idea of a common bus topology, use what's known as carrier-sense multiple access with collision detection, usually abbreviated CSMA/CD. To understand how CSMA/CD works, think of having a conversation at a very noisy party. If everybody talked at the exact same time, you wouldn't be able to understand anything. And this is the same way it is on a network that's having a packet storm or way too many collisions. A collision is when two nodes in the network try to talk at the exact same time, and this causes a conflict. To help avoid these conflicts, one node on the network would listen to the common bus, see if it hears anybody else talking, and if not, it would try to talk. However, if it senses a conflict, a collision, it will try to resend what it sent, given a certain amount of time. It's kind of like when you're at a party and you start talking to somebody, and they start talking at the same time, you both stop, you pause for a bit, then one of you tries again. Now, normally if you're at a crowded party, you're only going to try to listen to one conversation at a time. And a node on an Ethernet network does much the same thing. It generally only listens for information going towards its particular MAC address. However, it can be put into what's known as promiscuous mode, or as I like to call it, a slutty network interface. And it will listen for traffic destined to any host on the network, regardless of whether or not the destination MAC address matches its own. Keep in mind that not all network chipsets easily support promiscuous mode. For instance, I have a Centrino-based 802.11g wireless card built into my laptop. It uses the IPW2200 chipset. Unfortunately, promiscuous mode with this card doesn't work properly under Windows as of yet. And under a lot of Linux distributions, it doesn't work either, unless you have the absolute newest firmware file and drivers. But generally speaking, most network chipsets you're going to run into are likely to support promiscuous mode out of the box. If your network interface uses a fairly common chipset, it'll probably work. For instance, if you're using like a Freecom card, a Broadcom card, or a wireless card that uses the Hermes or Prism 2 chipset, you're probably good to go. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Ethernet started out as a common bus topology. However, as networks got bigger and bigger, and protocols got more and more chatty, there was more of a problem of collisions happening. This is one of the advantages old token ring networks used to have, because even though nominally they might be slower, since they didn't have the problem of collisions, since each individual node got a chance to talk, and many times it would actually come up faster if you were transferring a lot of data to several machines at the same time. Another problem with the common bus topology was anybody on any node on the network could sniff what other people were looking at if they could put their card into promiscuous mode. So for added security reasons, and even more so for added ability to transfer more data across the network, better throughput, people started to use switches. The way a switch works is it listens to the MAC addresses that are talking on various lines, tries to figure out who's hooked up where, and tries to only send data down the line it's needed to. By doing this, a switch greatly lessens the problem of collisions, and also makes it harder for people to sniff data that's not going to them, since the switch is going to see what MAC address is hooked up where, and it's going to only try to send the data to who actually needs it, as opposed to all nodes on the network. However, with a little op spoofing, which, or also known as op poisoning, which I'll cover a little bit later, you can get around a switch by fooling it into sending data where it shouldn't. Now, originally, sniffers were designed so that network administrators would have an easier way to diagnose problems on a network by seeing what's crossing the line. However, they are also of great use to a deviant computer user. A lot of common protocols, like HTTP and Telnet, are unencrypted. And worse yet, many protocols use unencrypted channels for sending the authentication information. For instance, FTP, Telnet, POP3, SMTP, and HTTP passwords can all be sniffed easily. On some other protocols, even encryption is used. Sometimes a sniffer could be used to pull out hashes that are crossing the wire, or possibly key exchanges, and then to apply various cryptographical methods or brute force attacks to try to figure out what the original password was. As you probably figured out by now, an attacker can do all sorts of damage if they can manage to get a sniffer on your network and start extracting passwords and other data off the wired or wireless networks. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, most modern Ethernet networks use switches to help control collisions and make it a little harder for people to sniff. However, using a technique known as op spoofing or op poisoning, you can easily get around a switch. For you trot sniffers out there who don't know how op works, I'll give you a quick explanation of how op works on an IP-based network. Op stands for Address Resolution Protocol, and it's kind of like that same party I mentioned before. If someone called in and asked for Frank, then you all of a sudden yelled to the entire room, "Yo, who's Frank?" Hopefully someone in the party will respond, "Yo, I'm Frank, give it to me." Well, this is basically how op works as well. If you're on a LAN, and one machine wants to contact another IP address, what it will do is send out an op packet going, "Yo, who has this particular IP address?" A machine with that particular IP address will respond and say, "Yes, I have that particular IP address. Here's my MAC address. Send it over the data link layer to me." Once both hosts have exchanged their MAC addresses so they know which MAC address goes with which IP address, they're logged in what's known as the op table, or op cache, for a short amount of time. If you want to see what your op table looks like, in either Windows or Linux, drop out to a command prompt and type lowercase arp space dash lowercase a. Or to say that quicker, just op space dash a. You should see it print out a listing of IP address to MAC address resolutions. Now the reason I need to tell you all this information about op is so that you might understand the next section on op poisoning or op spoofing. Since modern Ethernet networks generally use switches, and things are less like the old common bus topology, for a person to be able to sniff interesting things, they may have to do what's known as op poisoning, which is basically setting up for man-in-the-middle attack. To give you an example of how an op poisoning routine might work, let's say there's two hosts on the network, host 1 and host 2, and they want to communicate with each other. Let's say host 1 wanted to start the communications. What it would do is it would send out an op request going, "Yo, who out there is host 2? Here's the IP address I'm looking for." Hopefully host 2 would respond with its MAC address, and they can start to communicate back and forth. Well, in this particular scenario, we have a third machine. We'll call it the attacker's machine. What the attacker machine does is it sends unsolicited op information to both host 1 and host 2. Basically, what the attacking box is doing is telling host 1 that it is host 2, and it's telling host 2 that it's host 1. And by doing this, and having IP forwarding turned on, all the traffic will be routed through the attacker's box, and they'll be able to sniff the connection, even if all the hosts are on a switched network. Also keep in mind, when it comes to op poisoning, all the hosts have to be on the same subnet or VLAN for it to work. Remember, op is a protocol for the local area network, not the internet. However, if the attacker can get a sniffer onto the same network as either the client or the server, what they can do is set up op poisoning between the gateway and the particular host that they're on the same network as, and sniff the communications that way. A lot of this is easier to understand if you see it diagrammed. I'll have some links in the show notes that may help you out some. Now that you understand what sniffing is, I'll tell you about a few open source or free packages that you can download off the net and play around with the concept. Most of these tools you'll be able to find on the Auditor Linux Boot CD, with the obvious exception of tools like Kane, which are for Windows only. Most of these tools will require you to install libpcap on your Linux box or winpcap to get them to work properly. Probably the most useful general sniffer out there is Etheril. Etheril is a great little package. You can download it from etheril.com. It supports both Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X. and they have built-in parsers for all sorts of different networking protocols. It also has a very nice filter wizard that you can use to only look at the data that you need to look at. Ephyril makes for a great general-purpose sniffer. To my knowledge, it doesn't have op poisoning built in. However, you can use another tool to op poison and then do your sniffing with Ephyril. One of my other favorite sniffing tools is Kane from Oxid IT. Unfortunately, Kane is only for Windows. Kane isn't a general-purpose sniffer like Ephyril is, but it's designed specifically for plucking passwords off the line as well as password hashes and key exchanges, and a few other odds and ends of data that might be useful for a security researcher. Kane can sniff and display many plain text password authentication protocols like FTP, HTTP, IMAP, POP3, SMTP, NNTP, ICQ, SNMP, and a few others. It also has the ability to sniff off the wire NTLM and LM hashes and then do a brute force on those hashes. Kane has the built-in ability to do op poisoning, and it's probably the easiest tool out there to op poison with. Sometimes I might use it to op poison a network and then find out general information about the network using Ephyril. While I'm on the topic of Windows-only sniffers, I want to mention something called Network Active. It's a pretty cool tool for sniffing the wire in general and using it a little bit like Ephyril, though it's not as well featured. But a nice feature it does have is you can automatically choose to save any JPEGs, GIFs, HTML files that it sees crossing the wire. It'll save them to your hard drive so you can look at them later. There's a video on my website about how to use Network Active. The rest of the sniffing tools I'm going to mention, while they may have Windows ports, are generally used on Linux boxes or one of your various BSDs. They should generally also be pretty easy to compile on Mac OS X. You should be able to find video tutorials for most of these applications on irongeek.com. Just look underneath the Hacking Illustrated section for them. DSniff is a pretty cool sniffer that comes along with the OpsPoof package. Basically, use the OpsPoof tool that comes along with it to set up your op poisoning. Then you use DSniff, and DSniff will automatically parse out passwords. The DSniff package also comes along with WebMITM, which allows you to do a proxying of SSL connections. So let's say someone's using HTTPS to communicate with a web server. What it will do is it will proxy the connection, pass false keys to both targets, and route the traffic through it, unencrypted in the middle, take a look at it, and then pass it on. Now, the one problem using this attack is the client, when they try to hit the page, they'll get a warning message saying that the certificate wasn't signed properly. But a lot of people just click yes past these kind of messages anyway. Another great sniffer for security purposes is EtherCAP. It can parse out passwords, pull off op poisoning by itself. It can also proxy SSH and SSL connections and try to sniff the passwords. Another great thing about EtherCAP is it's very extensible since you can write your own filters. One of the filters I've written in the past basically looks for any kind of web traffic and replaces the images on a web page with, let's say, the Lemon Party image. It's a fun prank to pull on friends. What can I say? I'm a really sick bastard. EtherCAP has many interfaces you can use, including a cursors and a GTK interface. I, however, found them more confusing than just using the command line options. And the final one I'm going to mention is tcpdump, which is a great little command line sniffer. Keep in mind that pretty much all these tools use either winpcap or libpcap. And the dump files from one, you can generally import into another one. So if you wanted to, you could, let's say, sniff with Ephyril, dump the file out, then load it up into DSniff later on for parsing. Also, a lot of your wireless war driving tools, like RelinWriter and Kismet, create dump files that are in the same libpcap format, so you can easily import them into tools like Ephyril to see what kind of packets were captured while you were out war driving. Well, this has been another Trot Radio. I hope you've enjoyed the program. This is Iron Geek signing off. I hope to see you on the BinRev forums. Or maybe at Freaknik if you're there.
Straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From a gang called Niggers with Attitude. When I'm called off, I gotta sawed off. Squeeze a trigger and bodies are hauled off. You too, boy, if you fuck with me, police are gonna have to come and get me off your ass. That's how I'm going out. For the punk motherfuckers, it's showing out. Niggas start to mumble, they wanna rumble. Mix them and cook them up in a pot like gumbo. Going off on a motherfucker like that withered gat that's pointed at your ass. So give it up smooth. Ain't no telling when I'm down for a jack move. Here's a murder rap to keep you dancing with a crime record like Charles Manson. My AK-47 is a tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Maybe you can go toe-to-toe. Maybe I'm knocking niggas out the box daily, weekly. Yo, monthly and yearly, and to them dumb motherfuckers, see you clearly, got them down with a capital CPT. You can't fuck with me, so when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Cause Ice Cube is crazy as fuck. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of Compton. Coming straight out of Compton.